Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Ray Setti, who is a psychic astrologer. He's the author of a book called The Planets Align So Rarely. He edits a free monthly newsletter called Astrology for Tomorrow. He's studied many stars and celebrities' charts, and his psychic ability, along with his astrological skills, enables him to make predictions. So I think we're in for a nice program today. I would add, friends, that for the first time on my program, we are now set up to take calls from you. If you don't already know the numbers for the US and Canada, I will announce that possibly a bit later in the program when I feel we've covered the subject to some extent, and no doubt you will be bursting with some questions. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the program. Are you with us?
Hello, Mike. Yes, I am. Thank you very much for having me today.
Glad to have you here. I think the question most people would like to ask, and I'll certainly start with it, is we're familiar with astrologers. A psychic one is something a bit different. When did you first realize that you were psychic?
Well, I've always known that I've had an intuitiveness about myself, and I believe it was in my teenage years I began receiving premonitions of events that would actually come to pass. And at that time, because I was very young, and some of the information I was receiving was very intense, it was hard for me to deal with. So not until I progressed into my 20s did I actually really start using this and tapping into it. So I would say I did have an awareness when I was very, very young, maybe 5-6 years old. However, I didn't begin the realization of that until I was into my teenage years.
Right. So how did it first manifest? In what sense did you realize, if at all, that perhaps you were different to other people in that respect?
Well, when I was very young, I can recall probably, like I said, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, and I would describe the image of this woman who would appear in my bedroom. I had no recollection who this person was. And it had turned out that it was one of my mother's relatives who had passed on in the home where I grew up. And it wasn't like she was trying to frighten me or anything. She was just there. She just had a presence in the home, and I would describe how she looked. Now, I did not know this person. This person had passed over many years before I was born.
Oh, yes.
But I was just sensing her energy in the home, and I was describing certain things about her that were unique to her as an individual. So, you know, at that age, I knew, you know, not everyone was doing this. And I have to say, you know, I didn't have a lot of people around me saying, oh, you know what, it's okay, there's nothing to be afraid of. So it really frightened me. And I remember being very young, and the nighttime was not a fun place because I would sense energies around me, and I really didn't have a point of reference as to understand what they were. And not until I was actually an adult did I realize what was happening to me when I was young, because I was having similar experiences as an adult where I couldn't understand exactly what was happening when I was very young.
Yes. So having realized you had psychic abilities, how long was it before you connected it with your interest in astrology?
I began having an interest in astrology probably in my late teenage years, and I began formally studying astrology in my very early 20s. I must have been around 20, 21 years old, and I began studying actually on my own, and then I began working with teachers, with mentors, and my first awareness of astrology and how it all worked, I knew I had... astrology was very easy for me to understand and to learn, and I also realized that I just had a sense of knowingness of what was happening with planetary positions, not only knowing on a scientific level what certain, you know, aspects planetary placements meant, but also I had like just an intuitive knowing this sensation of what those planetary placements meant. So I had my formal training, and then I also had my intuitiveness that was just always part of me, and I began, as I progressed through my adult life, And it was very much a progression, how the psychic part and the astrology part began to commingle. It didn't, you know, it didn't just happen, and I didn't, you know, one day decide, oh, you know, I'm going to, you know, be a psychic astrologer. It was very, very much a progression over the course of many years of studying thousands and thousands of charts and working with individuals and really fine-tuning what it is that I do, and also having a great desire to really be of service to humanity through this craft, if you will.
Yeah. So what added benefit do you find that your psychic abilities give you when you're doing your astrological charts?
It's, you know, when I work with clients, I'll usually sit with an individual's chart at maybe, you know, at least an hour or two prior to my actually discussing having the session with the client. You know, and I'll look at the planetary transits, the aspects, and I'll just, you know, sit there and analyze everything. The psychic part comes in where when I'm guided as to where I need to go, depending upon what the individual needs at any given time. So I really use my intuitiveness as to know where to look, and then from there I start using, you know, the analytical part of myself to put it all together. And then, you know, once I sit with the client, it's very intuitive for me. I can connect with an individual's energies and know, have a sense of knowingness as to what to say and how to guide them based on my feelings as well as what I'm seeing in their astrological charts.
Yes, right. Okay, I think that gives us some sort of picture as to how you work and why you call yourself a psychic astrologer. I'd like to move on to the book that I mentioned when I introduced you, called The Planets Align So Rarely. Now, as a layman on the outside, I would have thought they aligned quite frequently. tell us a bit about that.
Absolutely. The title of the book is twofold. It's The Planets Align So Rare, 12 Dimensions to the Human Potential. The line, The Planets Align So Rare, refers to the uniqueness and the specificness of an individual's astrological chart, because a chart is based upon the person's date of birth as well as their exact time of birth and their geographical location on the planet.
Yes.
Those three elements take a snapshot picture of the planetary positions at that precise moment. And in that moment, those planetary alignments are very unique and very specific and very individual to each and every one of us. And not on any moment of any given day will that pattern be repeated. There will be similarities as you progress through time, but that unique formation will probably, you know, never happen again, because everything is constantly moving in the universe. There's all the cycles are constantly moving. So the planets align so rare talks about the uniqueness of an individual's astrological composition that goes way beyond the horoscopes that you read in the newspapers.
Right. So would I assume from that, I've never thought of this before, but I'm having regard to what you've just said, that the astrological influences actually determine the type of people that are born to the Earth during different eras?
Absolutely, yes. Because, for instance, the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, those planets are considered generational. They are very large, and they are very, very slow-moving, and they influence specific generations at a time. Now, depending upon their placements in different signs of the zodiac, will influence a generation in a different manner. And because they take so long to transit all the signs, and even once they return to the same sign, the other planets will not be in similar signs, making the same aspects and angles to a specific planet, if you will, therefore giving a different energy potential to a specific generation.
Yes. Right. Does your booking in any way mirror the approach of The Secret? And if not, where does it actually differ?
Actually, I believe there are some similarities to The Secret, and my book has been compared to The Secret. However, I believe my book is more spiritual. Everything that I do, all the work that I do, my writing, my work with my clients, I approach with a spiritual basis, a spiritual outlook. I think The Secret is more materialistic, and it lacks a certain spiritual sense to it. So in my book, I incorporate in all the chapters a sense of spirituality, and I'm always encouraging the understanding that we are connected to a higher level of consciousness, that we are not separate from when we have that awareness.
Yeah. But when you're doing a chart, how much of the information that you can gain is actually proportionate to the spiritual information that you can give people?
Well, this is just my own practice. I think that it's all spiritual. I mean, that's just who I am and what I do. So there's a very strong spiritual influence, you know, because I in my understanding, I see us as that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I'm not sure if I think someone else may have said that, but you know, that's really my approach to all this. So there is definitely, you know, everything I do is spiritual.
That's fine. Yes. I like the idea of that. That's a little bit different. I believe your book mentions the Maya prophecy about 2012, and I think there's a lot of people, including myself, who believe that that date is of profound importance and that it signals the end of the cycle. What would be your own thoughts about that?
I see that time, and I believe, again, that's just, you know, a point of reference because we are really progressing and those shifts have already begun. I understand that what is coming to pass is our higher understanding of ourselves as being spiritual. And I think up and until this point, there was a lack of spirituality, or rather the lack of the understanding of how we are spiritual. And I believe the shift has to do with the awareness and understanding of spirituality. One reason I say that is because of the planet Neptune's transit into the sign of Pisces. Neptune is at home in the sign of Pisces. Pisces is ruled by the planet Neptune. And those influences bring about profound senses of spirituality, as well as humanity's understanding on a subconscious psychological level of its own self and its connectedness to higher energy.
Yes. Well, I think that fits in quite well, really, with some people's expectations of 2012, because there is a great energy uplift which will raise our consciousness, and I can interpret that, in your words, as something that increases our higher understanding. So we're not really poles apart, to say the least, on what we believe 2012 is going to be for us.
Absolutely. I also do believe that the shifts are beginning right now, but also the 2010 time frame, because there are significant eclipses during that year, which will in part, you know, add to the energy shift that is happening around 2012. And again, it will be a progression. It's not going to be like one day we're going to wake up and all of a sudden these energy shifts are going to take place. It has to be a progression so we can get used to the feel of this energy and the understanding of it.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's fine. That covers that point adequately. I'm interested, as I'm sure many listeners are, in what you've discovered after examining the stars and celebrities charts. And I'm sure we would all be interested to know if you've analyzed George W. Bush Jr.'s chart.
Well, absolutely. I could have a field day with his chart. You know, one of the reasons that I like to profile celebrities on my website. I mean, I do deal with some celebrities, but I also like to talk about how they progress to their levels of success and what they have overcome and what they have endured in achieving their success. You know, just to inspire anyone who reads that to see, you know, how we can really overcome obstacles and use planetary energies when we have the awareness of the energy to overcome the obstacles and achieve our goals, you know, no matter what they are, when we approach them with, you know, yes, of course, a sense of, you know, with a realistic approach, but also a sense of awareness and how we can use these planetary energies, because that's really why they're there. These energies are, you know, are there for the taking for us, and when we have the awareness of how they work, we can work with them and use them for our benefit to serve ourselves as well as humanity. So, you know, that's, you know, one of the reasons why I really like, you know, talking about celebrities, because they're, you know, we can see how they've achieved so much, but we're also not always aware of what they've overcome and endured, mm-hmm. and yeah. how specific planetary cycles in their lives were working so that they can achieve their success.
Right, yes. Having done that, do you have any particular celebrities in mind who you feel have overcome really quite strong obstacles to their career?
Well, one of the people that I did feature, and it was a few years back, was Madonna. And one thing that I really like about her, she's a Leo, and Leos have a very strong sense of determination. You know,
yes.
And she just had a sense of knowing that she was going to be on top of the world, and she would do whatever she needed to do to achieve those goals. And I think that,
yes.
that's a good example for any of us who have the desire, you know, and it really doesn't matter what it is, you know, a desire to really overcome, endure, and achieve whatever it is that we set out to do for ourselves when we choose to make that commitment and do whatever, you know, it takes. And also have the awareness that what we are doing really does affect each other and how we affect each other. And it doesn't, you know, I don't see my success as being self-serving. I do what I do because of my love for humanity. And I know that at any given day, no matter what I'm doing, I'm serving humanity because that is my desire, you know.
Yeah.
And these people, when they really overcome these obstacles, you know, unfortunately that's not the case with everyone. Some individuals are self-serving, and you know, they really don't consider the whole of humanity. But I think for the most part, you know, when you really break it down, there is a genuine humanitarian love for society there. So.
Yeah. I must refer you back to George W. Bush.
Ah, yes.
would you care to make any comment about his rise to fame?
Well, I kind of think that he's paying off a karmic debt to the United States, and I'm not really, after I've been, you know, looking at his chart for, you know, almost 10 years now, I do believe part of what he was supposed to be doing was to be paying off some sort of karmic debt, although I'm not sure he's achieving that goal. I think he's creating more of a karmic debt for himself, you know, than he's repaying back. And I also believe, and this is just my opinion, I do believe he's always had a hidden agenda, and we really don't know what his motives are behind his actions, although I do believe that they will eventually come to the surface. I'm not really sure when. But, you know, just like with anything else, we have to, you know, see with the passage of time what actually does come to fruition. So
there is a feeling, which is supported by quite a number of people, that George Bush is one of a number of people in high places who is part of the Illuminati that have some global ambitions to take over the world. Now, you predicted last year that, and I think this was for August, October, that some of the covert actions that were taking place would be uncovered. Now, looking back, did that prediction prove to be accurate?
I'm not sure. If I may have been a little off with the timing. I'm not really sure about that one. However, I do recall it was, and just bear with me, I think it was in 1996, I had made a prediction for that year in December that the April time frame, there would be a surfacing of, you know, these similar actions, and I believe there was at that time, because that stands out in my mind. I remember seeing the headlines in the paper, and I think I highlighted it on my website about him, and it was around that time frame that I'm certain about. The other one I'm not I'm not too sure of.
I would have thought it was likely that you were probably correct in as much that since the Iraq War and 9/11, there has been a continual uncovering of information and details that support the idea that both were started in as conspiracies. So I think possibly you may have been correct on that.
Absolutely, yeah. You're probably right. Sometimes, I don't always follow actually what's happening with my own predictions.
Exactly.
I get so caught up in thinking, okay, what's coming next? I have to remember to look back and see what has happened and tie it all together. So actually, I thank you for reminding me that I need to do that.
Yes. Right, we're still thinking about the U.S. government. In your overall way of examining charts, possibly of people like George W. Bush, do you see, as a lot of people suspect now, that in the coming few months there may be some dramatic changes in the U.S. government and possibly a new structure eventually, such as a world government?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's absolutely possible. And I say that because, and this is one of the things I'm going to talk about when I make my predictions for this coming year, planet Pluto is moving into the sign of Capricorn. Now, Pluto, wherever Pluto goes, Pluto transforms, restructures, it breaks down whatever untruths are there so that the truth can be known. Pluto moving into Capricorn is the sign of government. So as it moves into that sign, the governments, and not only the government in the United States, but other world governments, will begin a process of becoming restructured. And all these fallacies, all these untruths will begin to surface themselves more so in the coming years, and it will begin as we move into 2008.
Right. I did pick up on something that passed through my hands recently. There was some predictions by Lynn Dalbout. This actually happened on the 13th of this month. And she's referred to something you just spoke about, but enlarged it in saying that there is a coming conjunction of Jupiter and Pluto in Sagittarius. And she felt that had something to do with setting the stage and creating the tone of what 2012 might look like.
Absolutely.
I mean, having dropped that one on you without any notice, would you agree with it?
Absolutely I would, because I think I talked about this in on my website when I made my predictions for this month, the full moon. That last degree of Sagittarius, actually, it's significant because it's the ending of a cycle and the beginning of a new one. And with Pluto and Jupiter, not only does it refer to the government, but our higher thoughts, our higher levels of understanding, and our higher beliefs. We are just eliminating all that which, in terms of our beliefs, no longer serve us, so we can kind of like clean the slate and begin a new sense of awareness. So I would, you know, knowing that, I would have to agree with that statement.
Yeah, oh, that's fine. Glad to find that you agree amongst yourselves on these things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shortly going to announce the telephone number so that people can phone in. But before I do that, I'm a Sagittarian. Can you say any nice things about my future at the moment?
Actually, I wish I had your chart before we talked about this. But, you know, what I'm sensing for you, actually, I have to, you know, and this is when the psychic part of me comes in.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a very, very strong female angelic energy around you, and I'm going to have to say this energy was either your mother or like a mother to you. Now, is your mother deceased?
Yes, she is.
Okay. And she's showing me actually two gold rings. Does that mean anything to you?
Not immediately, no.
All right, well, then I would just kind of keep that in the back of your mind and just know that this energy is around you. She's a very strong influence, actually one of your stronger spirit guides. Did your mother have, like, inspire you actually in terms of your own, I don't know, spirituality or kind of like this awareness that you approach of life that you take?
Right. I didn't get that fully because sometimes the volume of your voice just fades slightly. So can you repeat the question for
me? Absolutely. Was your mother, in terms of, like, one of your strongest influences regarding, you know, the spiritual, metaphysical approach to life?
No. No.
Oh, she wasn't? Well, because I'm sensing that did she have any sort of sense of spirituality about her? Because I'm sensing that's actually the energy that you're receiving from her. There's a very strong angelic quality about her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is something that she's resolving, since she has crossed over. But for you, she's one of your strongest spirit guides. And the symbol that she's showing me of two gold rings, just keep that in the back of your mind because something could... in the next few days, actually, could come to you that will give you that sense of awareness.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Let me just... Wait. Just one more thing. At February 2008, from February into March of 2008, there's a door opening up for you in terms of your career and an opportunity that is going to present itself for you. So just be mindful. February going into March. Okay.
All right.
So just be aware of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll bear that in mind, and I'll
right.
have you on the program a bit later and tell you whether it worked.
Absolutely, sure.
Okay, I'm going to give out the two numbers now and invite people to phone in, and of course you and I will continue having a chat until we get somebody through. But if you're in the U.S., the number to ring is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, 888-815-9756. I should quite look forward to this, Ray, because you're actually the first guest I've had who will receive phone-in. So that'll give a new aspect to the whole program.
Sure,
now, whilst
absolutely.
People sort out their questions, tell us a bit about your monthly newsletter.
Well, actually, it's right now. It was a mailed publication, but right now it's only available online, and I send it out electronically. So it's an electronic monthly newsletter that includes notices about the full moon and the new moons that happen each month, as well as any other significant astrological topics that I will be talking about. So right now, it once was available through the mail, but because the distribution became rather large and a little too much for me to handle, I chose to do it just electronically. And anyone could come to my website at astrologerray.com and just drop in their email address and sign up for that newsletter. So, and there's a lot of good information there about what's going on in the planets each month. So, as well as what I do on for my own self, my book signings, appearances, etc.
So, it gives an update on your activities because I believe
absolutely.
You occasionally go on tours.
I was actually just in Florida doing some book signings. I did some morning shows while I was down there. So, whenever the opportunities arise, I love getting out there and just talking to people and meeting people, yourself and just about anybody. Because I think, there's a lot of fascinating people out there, and I think, we need to really connect with each other. So,
do you run any sort of workshops as well?
Right now, my schedule does not allow me to do that. However, there are once a month I do a gallery type event where we host a small group of people, about 15 to 20 people, and I do energy work with them as well as spirit guide communications psychic readings. So, and that's a local thing we do once a month, and all that information again is on my website. So
yes, right. Now, just coming back to your astrological side, taking that by itself and forgetting for the moment that you use your psychic abilities, do you use what might be called, say, a standard form of astrological interpretation, or do you do anything special?
Well, I don't know if I would say a standard form, but I do have, there are the basics that all astrologers are taught, but I find that as I've experienced and worked with charts, literally thousands and thousands of charts, I formulate my own ideas and thoughts about planetary energies and how they work that don't, may not always conform to the norms, but, I've never been one to just, be traditional in my beliefs, and I find that I like to just come to my own decisions and conclusions about how energies work, you know, and I always keep in the back of my mind the traditional teachers and, you know, the great astrologers and what they've taught and what I've learned from them, and I'd like to take that and just formulate my own conclusions based upon my own experiences when I'm working with charts. But, you know, I mean, Venus will always rule beauty and nature and things of love. You know, that will never change. That's a given. My interpretations of how it relates to other planets and other energies, that's kind of where I formulate my own thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. So astrology gives people a picture of their potential, and in using their free will, they determine what actually manifests within their life. Is that correct?
Based upon their choices and how they work with the energies. Because, you know, like you said, I have a strong belief in free will. I do not believe that everything is predetermined. I believe that when we understand how the energies work, we can make different decisions based upon those energies. And also, I think there are times when certain situations need to come to pass. However, regardless of that, nothing is set in stone and nothing, you know, is certain until after it has passed. These energies, my perspective on the chart is really the individual's potential and what they can potentially realize and experience during the course of their existence.
So, according to which family we're born into or which partner we eventually link up with, apart from those astrological influences, of course, we're subject to other people's influences, aren't we? Do you also see that in the chart? I mean, you mentioned to me, I know you picked this up psychically, about some angelic presence, but can you sort of cater for other influences like that?
You mean like family, friends, brothers,
yes,
sisters?
Yes, yes.
We can see, actually, in the individual's chart, you can, if you know where to look, you can see how everything influences the individuals. You can see where the brothers are. You can see where the partner is. You can see where the friends are. And you can formulate a conclusion as to how those energies influence the individual. So it's all there. You just need to know where to look.
Yes. So if you had a chart, say, for the whole year, you could actually select the most appropriate times for something that you had in mind. In other words, if you tried it out of sync, it might not work for you, but if you pick the right time, it will probably go okay.
A little smoother, absolutely. And provided that you're working with those planetary energies and not against them, based on our thoughts and our actions. So we're really, you know, commingling with these energies, and, you know, the planets on a certain day could influence, for example, you know, a favorable money aspect. However, if our attitudes and our beliefs about money aren't as favorable, then, well, you know, it's like plus one, minus one. You're really not going to get anything.
Yeah.
So
how vital is it that you have the time of birth? I mean, I'm thinking that some people don't actually have the time of birth on their birth certificate. Can you still produce a reasonably accurate chart?
Actually, the time of birth is very critical because everything is constantly moving. And it, you know, it's kind of obvious when you look how quickly the moon changes positions every day. You know, everything is constantly moving. So the time of birth is very, very critical. And however, there are times when the time isn't always available that we can work with certain planetary positions to decipher what's happening in an individual's life. And it may not necessarily be as accurate. And that's when actually the psychic part of me really has to kind of, you know, step up to the plate. If we don't have the planetary energies, because you can't, it's hard to pinpoint timing of events when the birth time is not correct, as well as specific areas in an individual's life when the time is not correct. So the time is very, very critical. And usually there are ways to find that information. In the United States, you can contact the Department of Vital Statistics in specific states. I'm not sure in other countries where you could get that information. But I have found that actually 9 times out of 10, an individual will be able to get that information. And there are those instances when, you know, it's a little bit more of a challenge. So
yeah. I seem to recall many years ago that I read of someone who actually cast a chart for the Kennedy family because they were so interested in their very strong family links and the fact that their whole time together is littered with accidents and really quite unusual happenings. Now, can that be done?
Absolutely. It's a lot of work, but it absolutely can be done because you have to look at so many charts, you know. And when you're looking at a chart, you literally have to factor in, you know, almost thousands of points to come to conclusions. So when you're looking at, you know, families, you have to look at so many charts. I mean, yes, it's possible. I'm sure it's a very daunting task,
yes.
But it is possible.
Yes. I mean, just on a side note here, the same person reckoned that from a spiritual point of view, the Kennedys were a group of souls who were incarnating in this period of time, not for the first time, that they were very tight-knit and often came together.
Sure, absolutely. I find that with many individuals who have a very close connection. Just for example, my two best friends in this life, I'm certain that we have been together for many, many, many lifetimes. So I would agree with that assessment.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Now, coming again to your psychic abilities, obviously not everyone can be there in person with you. I'm sure I know the answer, but nevertheless, I will ask it. Can you use your psychic abilities when you're doing the charts if you're not with the person?
Oh, absolutely. I have clients that are literally on the other side of the world. So when I do the phone consultations, I do find that I can connect with an individual's energies. And many times I'll do programs such as, you know, as yours, where we will take phone calls, and just hearing the person's voice, I am able to connect with that individual and give them a psychic interpretation of the energy that's around them. So,
right. So, astrology isn't accepted by everyone by a long way. Perhaps they've been put off by horoscopes. But what would you say to someone who was very dubious about astrology being what I would call a true science?
Well, you know what? I would never try to change someone's beliefs. What I would say is that there's plenty of information out there, and I would encourage the individual to just do the research on their own and come to their own conclusions. I mean, I would never try to change a person's thoughts one way or another about astrology. However, I will say that, you know, there once was a time, and this was back in the days of Mesopotamia, when astrology was common as it is uncommon today. However, I do feel that that is going to change. And not only astrology, but again, it goes back to the awareness of spirituality and our connection to the higher spirit. So I would always encourage and inspire anyone to really just do some research, see what's out there, and come to your own conclusions about, you know, based on your experiences and what you feel is right. You know, I would never say, you know, just don't take my word for it. You know, go out and find the answers for yourself. And I think that if you really dig deep enough, you will find the answers and see and understand that this really isn't a bunch of hocus pocus. And unfortunately, you know, there are some individuals out there who do give credible psychics, astrologers, people like yourself, you know, a bad name, and it makes our job that much harder. So
right, yeah. Where would you suggest that people started, though? I mean, that's a very big subject. If they wanted to research it, how would they approach that?
Research the astrology itself?
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, I'd say, you know, just do a Google search on the website and go from there, because there's so much information out there. It's kind of hard to really, pinpoint one location. But there are many, there are many websites out there. There are many books written by credible astrologers, you know, like Robert Hand. And even actually Carl Jung talked a lot about astrology, and I talk a little bit about him too in my book.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say just even kind of like even trust your instincts, and if there's maybe an interest an individual has about a certain thing, just that use that as a starting point and go from there, because that'll make it unique and specific to the individual. So just kind of like trust your instincts on it and just, you know, have fun with it.
Yes. You've obviously been in a number of interviews. Have you been on television, incidentally?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was just actually, I mentioned I was down in Florida. I did a few morning shows while I was down there. I've done some shows on Manhattan Cable here in New York City, so I've done some television.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You get the exposure, which is all good for getting your books around.
Sure.
You must have been asked many, many questions, but what are the most difficult ones you've had to deal with? I want to know where you had problems.
Probably, honestly, you know, what comes to mind, it was about, I'd say about a year ago now, and this, I was completely blindsided by this. I was doing I was doing a phone interview, and an individual, and this was completely, I did not expect this whatsoever. I was doing a phone interview, and I came to find that it was a fairly conservative type radio program, which I didn't know before I went on it. And there was, I believe he was some type of a minister challenging me and basically, you know, calling me a demon for the work that I do. And I was very unsettled by it, and I really didn't know how to respond to that. So I have to say that something like that, when someone attacks me like that, and that was fortunately the only time that experience had ever happened, was one of the only times that I really kind of, I just didn't know what to say. So that's, you know, a situation that comes to mind. So,
do you find that many people express doubts? I mean, I can understand someone who is perhaps very strong in their own religion, because I think generally speaking they do view psychic work and astrology and other things, palmistry possibly, as being things that they wouldn't recommend their followers to take up. But what about ordinary people? I mean, people who haven't got really any strong attachments, do they ever have any real bias towards it?
I think it's more like they have a sense, they really don't have a sense of awareness. They just really don't know what all this is about. And unfortunately, you know, like I said earlier, there are many misconceptions, really, about how astrology works. You know, and for the most part, when someone doesn't have the awareness, they think of the horoscopes in a newspaper and magazine. And quite honestly, you know, when you read those, I mean, just for my own amusement, sometimes I'll read my own horoscope just to see how ridiculously inaccurate it is. And I think, you know, those individuals, that's their preconception about what astrology is about, and they really don't have a sense of knowingness. And once they know even just a little bit more about how it works, they're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe this isn't so bad. So it's all about the awareness, that's all.
Yeah. I think the difficulty is that they can't imagine how the energies that are emanating from these different planets can somehow affect their lives, isn't it? I'm guessing that is the difficult point.
Sure, and you know, one example that I use, which I think it's very simple. I mean, we all agree that every day the moon affects the tides because of its pull on the Earth. Our bodies are mostly water. So if you think about it on a larger scale, why not, you know, why couldn't the planets have the same influence on us as well?
You know,
I think that people sometimes approach it with a fear. They almost feel like these energies can control us and manipulate us, and it's just the opposite. I mean, we are the ones who are meant to take charge and to really use these energies resourcefully for our creative benefit. So, you know, once again, when there's a shift of awareness, you know, that's when things begin to change.
Yes. I'd like you to, if you can, to tell us a little bit more about your book, The Planets Align So Rarely. I don't think we really touched upon many points there.
Sure.
Is it actually detrimental to us if the planets don't align?
Well, every day the planets align, so it's just a matter of how they align.
Right.
which is different, because every day there is some planetary alignment formation. I don't know if there can't not be a planetary alignment.
All right. Okay. I guess what I was getting at is I seem to have in the back of my mind that you've got two expressions that cover some that may be not beneficial and some that are. Is it when you talk about some being in conjunction or something like that? I'm trying to remember what it was.
Those are planet. If you, are you referring to planetary aspects? Like a
yes.
Conjunction is when two planets are in the same position in the zodiac. There are other aspects. You know, everything is about angles. The aspects are angles between the planets, and each angle demonstrates a different type of energy. Some are more challenging, and some are a little bit easy, and some present opportunities. Some present, you know, a time of separation, and some are a time of beginning. So it's all about the different energies and how one planet is in relation to another, depending upon the sign that planet is in.
Right. Now, I would imagine that the sun has the most dramatic effect on us because of the size of it and perhaps being permanently there in the center of this solar system. Would that be a correct assumption?
Well, I would have to disagree with that, because some of the outer planets, and it did not necessarily because of its size. For example, Pluto, which I think he's getting a bad rap lately because, you know, they've reclassified him, but that's, I have a whole different, you know, thesis on that one. But anyway, Pluto is probably one of the smallest heavenly bodies in relation to some of the other ones. However, Pluto's influence is the strongest, the most powerful, the most profound, and the most transformative of all the planets. So regardless of its size, it has a very strong, significant influence on any individual. And anyone who has had a Pluto transit to their chart really knows how powerful these energies can be. Coming from when I was in my late 20s, I had a very powerful, significant Pluto transit to my chart, and my life was never the same since. So the size of the actual planet itself doesn't necessarily have a relation to its influence on humanity.
Yeah. What sign of the zodiac are you, right?
I was born on the cusp of Taurus and Gemini, which it presents its challenges in and of itself, because I'm actually not really one or the other, although I have a lot of planets in Gemini, so I demonstrate many Gemini qualities. I have an Aquarius moon, which makes me an astrologer. I also have a Sagittarius rising, which makes me a philosopher. So.
All right.
So Sagittarians are very much the philosophers of the zodiac, Mike.
I would agree with that. I find, by and large, the typical attributes that they give a Sagittarian are applicable to myself. But
were you by any chance born early in the day? Do you know that? If that was
no,
true?
I think I was born at around. I don't know exactly. This is the problem.
Okay.
You know, in England, they do not put the dates of birth on the birth certificates, but think it was around about 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Because I was trying to do some quick calculations of your rising sign. I was thinking about maybe you were a double Sagittarius, but if you weren't that late in the day, you were not. So you may also have a Sagittarius moon. Have you ever had your chart looked at?
Somebody did one for me, but I don't carry information in my mind about it.
Okay.
So I can't really tell you anything more.
Okay.
What I wanted to ask you, and I'll probably make this my final question, because I feel I'd like to give you a couple of minutes at the end to tell us about anything that you have available to help people with their astrological interests from your website, is my wife and I are tennis enthusiasts, and where we learn the date of birth of many of these sports people, we find that they tend to congregate more so in some of the signs. I think one of them was Gemini. Now, I may be incorrect on that, but what I want to ask you is, do you find that people in certain professions tend to come from one sign more than another?
Let me see how I can answer that. It may not necessarily have to do with their sun sign. For example, let's take a musician for example. Musicians are ruled by the sign of Libra. However, a strong musician, very powerful, prolific musician, may not be born under the sign of Libra. However, the presence of Libra in the chart will be very strong, depending on other planetary energies. Their moon may be in Libra. Their rising sign will be in Libra. So if there's something significant about an individual, there are many points that will bring that together, not just the sign that there's the sun within when they were born. So it's a combination of factors.
Right. Now, Ray, I've got about 2 minutes left. I have to announce my next guest as a closing comment. I'll give you a minute to tell us about anything you'd like to interest our listeners in, perhaps regarding your website.
Well,
and you might repeat your website address anyway.
Sure. It's astrologerray.com. That is astrologerray.com. And every month I feature my forecast for the full moons and the new moons, and I talk about how we can use those energies, especially on the new moon, to begin new cycles in our lives, gain better planet understanding of what the planets are doing at that time. The full moon brings situations to fruition, so that I talk about what we can expect to come to pass over the course of the month. I will also twice a year make my predictions for the coming year. I do early predictions for each year, and then again some mid-year predictions. And I'm always talking about where you can see me for my book signings, radio and television appearances, and there's a nice section on there talking about my book too, The Planets Align So Rare, that's available on Amazon and in the Barnes & Noble stores. So
that's great. Okay, Ray, I'll have to thank you for a very interesting interview. You certainly know a lot about your subject.
Thank you,
Mike, for being with me, and I'll now tell our listeners that next week I have Michael Gellert, who's an author of a book called The Way of the Small, Why Less is Truly More. Somebody commenting on his book saying that it was one of balancing our inner and outer worlds. He also draws upon major religions, spiritual teachings, and the experiences of famous people to show you how you too can become a master of the small. So again, there's something different. I hope you'll be with me. Thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you.